Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is located at 3201 North Division Street, inside the Division Street Hill Clock Tower Plaza. Very nice, attractive building. Just had some contractors actually come through from another state to see what I'd done as far as security goes. They're wanting to build a huge bankish gold, some kind of Chinese, it's from San Francisco, and it's for a Chinese group, and they wanted to see everything we did, and they were like, wow, they were impressed. So we definitely stepped up to the plate on the building. The facility is, you know, built from the outside in, extraordinarily strong, bullet and bomb resistant polycarbonates and concrete and steel and a lot of stuff like that, which gives the customer a sense of peace of mind. We have the highest rated privately held depository service in the United States, or in the Western region, I should say, that I know of. I don't know. There's probably a few pretty impressive ones out there, but ours is definitely one of them. So that's who we are. We've been in business for 20-plus years. We specialize in the purchase and sale of all forms of precious metals and rare coins and things like that, and scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds. We buy it all. We sell it all. Right now is a time, I don't know. I guess it depends on where you're at in life. I was going to say there's a lot of good buying opportunities, a lot. We've got, wow, you know, you look at, like, I don't know if you take the time ever to watch, like, Venezuela and what's going on with them. You know, it's just tough, to be frank. It's there's a lot of tough stuff going on out there. And we're living in a world that is getting this socialistic addiction. Why? Why? Why the drive for socialism? Well, socialism and communism, you know, in general, were semi-eradicated by the United States and their allies in World War II. And since then, it really got unpopular. When I was young going to school, you know, communism was taught as being a bad thing. Frankly, I think you might all agree it is. And now all of a sudden, what in the world has gotten into these professors and colleges that's driving this garbage they're feeding our kids, that's making them want to be socialists, you know? And oh, the reason they say that, you know, you see these communistic regimes fall, and what do they say? Oh, it's because they didn't implement communism properly. It's like, come on, man. There is no way to implement it properly, because it's absolutely, completely, and totally contrary to what the Bible says about the way God created us, about the drive that God put in us, you know, who we are, everything. It's absolutely unbiblical. It's the opposite, okay? You live in the United States of America. Folks, you need, and I need, to be so grateful and so thankful for a country that our founding fathers designed and built based on biblical truths and standards, absolute biblical, you know, Judeo-Christian ethics. An amazing country, an amazing experiment, and brilliant, brilliant founders. I mean, brilliant. We're talking brilliant, excuse me. Might have said that a couple times, but they were. And they knew history, and they were incredibly articulate. Pre-record, sorry, the recording just went a little glitcho. My computer's getting a funky personality. I leave it plugged in all the time. Well, I learned that that toasted battery, so I unplugged it for like 2 days just to let it breathe, and it went from 100% to zero. And you care about that. That's so important to you, but I just thought I'd share that with you. But anyway, so we're living in this era. Well, we had our founding fathers, okay, who were just beyond, you know, the pale in amazingness, amazement, whatever you want to call it. They were brilliant. And they took pride in being brilliant. And they got a chance to build the last country, the real country on earth. Any other country is a takeover, a coup. You know, things might change slowly over time via elections. We live in a country that is a democratically represented republic. And it's so important to understand that this democracy, I can't even believe it. I watch the news or something and I get so sick of hearing that we're a democracy. And I've heard some really neat statements lately from people that say, you know, I can't remember. I think it was last night I was listening to one. The guy did a beautiful job of discussing what's going on in this country, but the problem is it was democracy, 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 and we're not. We're just not. We are a republic. What is a republic? A republic is the ultimate form of government, and I like where Ben Franklin, when he was walking down the halls of Congress, or, you know, after the Congressional Convention, and a lady said to him, "So what form of government did you give us, sir?" And he said, "A republic, ma'am, if you can keep it." Okay? And you need to have you need to work to keep a republic together. You've got to work to keep it in place. It doesn't take care of itself. And when we have democratic elections and we have people, you know, technically you can hire, or not hire, you can elect socialists, but the problem is, you know, they're going to come in and tax you to death. And people don't realize, I was talking to my accountant yesterday about, you know, taxation on real estate and various things. We've bought and sold a number of properties in the last couple of years, and the tax rates are crazy on capital gains on commercial property. They're, you know, I mean, it's just, it's nuts. And people don't realize the high tax rate. I had an employee that was making $25 an hour, and he thinks he's getting this other job that's going to be $35 an hour, but it's 1099. And the thing is I'm self-employed. And I know that when, you know, the high tax brackets, 38% or 37.6 or 9%. But you also have to pay both sides when you're self-employed. Like if you of your Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. So when you have, you know, if you work for an employer and you have to pay the 7.8% Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, that's half. The employer's paying the other half. If you have your own business, you get to pay both halves of that. And then if you're making a decent income, you know, you end up at the 37% tax bracket. So, and then you've got like a 1.7% B&O tax. And then, of course, there's sales tax on every single thing you buy. But when you start saying, okay, 38% or 37% income tax, and then you add on 15.8 and almost 16%, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, what the heck would that be? 37, 47, 53%. I mean, so, and then you got your almost 9% sales tax. And then you don't realize all of the other taxes that have already been jammed into everything on a state level and a federal level. And I mean, just taxes, taxes, taxes. I saw a thing at one time I don't want to really get into today, a list of all the taxes we pay. It's called the acceleration of money. And And it basically, every dollar goes back to the government. Every dollar goes back to the government. It's important to realize that. And if you always think that more taxes are going to help, they help what? Help the government what? Spend more money? Have you, any of you ever felt a really that the government's doing a really nice job with the income that we give them? No. Do you realize that every dollar that you have goes back to them? And that's why hard assets, precious metals-based assets, are so good. Why? Okay, if you have stocks, you know, you get, you're going to, stocks, bonds, whatever you want to call it, equities, okay, you're going to have them in one of two forms. Either you're going to have them in an open savings forum or format, or you're going to have them in a 401k and IRA. In a 401k or an IRA, you are postponing your income, okay? So if you have, say, well, I'll give you real-world examples with family members, okay? So back, say, 15 years ago, we put, I don't know, maybe not that long, but whatever, 13, 12 years ago, here I go, Let's just say 15 years ago, let's just say that. It's something like that. And so we had them cash out, and we've done this with a lot of people. They're 401ks and IRAs. And then they basically, like right now, you're at this peak number in the market. And it's kind of holding there, and it's wavering, and it's bouncing. And people are like, ooh, look at the market. You know, it's up this much today. It's down this much. It's up this much. It's down, you know, it's volatile as can be. And the stock market's just it's funky, right? I mean, let's face it, it's funky. It's all over the place. And all the stock market indexes they really are flatlining for the most part. I mean, they'll go 24,000 to 26,000 on the Dow. And then, you know, you've got the S&P 500 and you've got... you know, let's see here. The S&P 500, let's see if I can read this here. We've gone from, you know, we've had a big run. I guess I'll just say that. Why have we had a big run? Well, duh. We had the 2009 crash, okay? So people have seen this uprun, the longest bull market in history, basically, which is very similar to what we saw up until around 2000. And then kapoosh, down it went. And then we saw it again up until 2008. And kapoosh, down it went, right? The one from the crash of 2000 ran. Okay, so let's take a look here. The crash of 2000 ran pretty hard for about, look, 12 years, okay? It started up in about 88 as the coin market was cooling off. I mean, coins just had gone zonkers before that. Just, there's numbers that coins were bringing that were just so far past ridiculous. It would blow your mind. Will those days come again? This is going to sound weird at first. I got to preface it. Fortunately and unfortunately, it'll do that again. And here's why I say unfortunately. Coins got way, way too high in the late 80s. I mean, just beyond the realm. The profits that people made were so ridiculous. I mean, literally, from, you know, early 80s, late 70s till late 80s, coins went, you know, 50 times, like 50-fold increases in some cases and 20-fold increases in some, you know, some crazy stuff like that. That just doesn't, it's too much, okay? When anytime you see a market just go up and up and up and up and up and up and up, it tends to correct itself. And we have been going up and up and up and up and up. Now, the one exception is that we are in a hidden, covert, unnoticed, unknown, non-understood hyperinflationary period under Donald J. Trump. Why? Because he is determined to get reelected by spending money like crazy. Congress loves him because he allows it. He's not a true Republican. He's a populist. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. But he's conservative in areas that you and I care about, you know. He's conservative, especially in abortion. And now he's gotten a few people appointed into Supreme Court. If he gets reelected and he gets one more person in there, folks, the morality of America is going to change. I mean, Roe v. Wade will be shot down. People get all freaked out. They're like, oh, you know, it'll outlaw abortions and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not at all even close to endorsing abortion. It's a sad, sad commentary on America. But if you get one more Supreme Court justice, which I think we're there now, but if you had one more, I mean, Roe v. Wade is going to get overturned. There was Alabama, I think it is putting in an absolute ban. They're trying to put – they're a two-thirds conservative state, and they're putting in an absolute ban on abortion. Why? Because they want to get, number one, save lives, babies' lives. Babies are actually real humans. No, number two, they want it to be taken to the Supreme Court right now and then hammered down and have Roe v. Wade removed. Why would we want to have Roe v. Wade removed? Think about it. It's simple. It's because it legalizes murder. But people don't realize it will transfer it back to the states' rights level. So it's not like it would totally outlaw abortion, but it would send it back to each state to make the decision. We had a tax bill that just went through our state Congress that was trying to put sales tax on gold and on precious metals and coins, which got removed, praise God. But talking to one of our reps, you know, he said that's a small part of the battle. I mean, it's great for me, but it doesn't, you know, stop this $5 billion tax bill. I mean, tax, tax, tax. We live in a state that's just addicted to it. And Eastern Washington is not Western Washington. So every penny we pay over here really is emboldening, you know, the West Coast, Seattle area. We don't get use of it. Not appropriately. It's not appropriately distributed at all. And so it's a little bit, not good. We'll put it that way. So it's a disappointment to the representative. You guys know Matt Shea, and that was his comments. And, I mean, the guy, Matt Shea's phenomenal. He's a godly, constitution-loving, you know, just, I mean, if we were full of, if our country, if our national representatives were full of Matt Shays, oh my gosh, folks, we would be the strongest financial country in the world. Why? Because we would go back to constitutional principles in every area, and we'd go back to a gold standard. People don't realize the power of a gold standard. And when your money's backed by a hard asset, by real money, especially when it's extraordinarily biblically endorsed and authorized, yes, big time. And so that's why it's important, believe it or not, for you to build your own gold standard. You know, people are people, right? I mean, and you like to win. We like to win. I love to win. But and so what you want to do all the time is you want to be on the winning team. What's winning? Well, you know, you're being educated that the Dow Jones or, you know, the stock market's the hot place to be. But it's not. It's just it's been hanging in there for, a few years. And it's really it's just kind of it shot up hard when Trump got elected. And it just stayed there. It's fighting the ceiling. It's bouncing off the ceiling is what I call it. It doesn't like to get above certain levels, and it's up there. It's way up there, and it's just it goes up and it goes down and it goes up and it goes down, and but it won't, you know, it won't get past a certain point. And the thing you got to realize that's driving into that point, the thing that bothers and scares me the most is hyperinflation. What causes hyperinflation? It's simple, folks. It's banks, okay? It's banks creating and lending money from thin air. Like I said, I think I was talking, explaining that I was talking to a good architect friend of mine who comes from one of the top 10 architectural firms in the United States, and they fly around and, you know, to various cities to do, you know, just incredible homes. That they're doing dozens of homes right now that are all, you know, like $10 million each. I mean, they do this high-end stuff. So he's going, you know, he's Nashville and Vail, Colorado, which means they fly into Denver and, you know, Sun Valley and, what's the one in Park City, Utah, and all this kind of stuff. And these areas are, he said, everywhere you go, there's these huge tower cranes, which means massive construction's underway. Well, when companies build these buildings, they don't have the cash. You think they do. That's the silly thing about it, is we assume you have to be a multi-billionaire to build these buildings. You don't. You have to actually get the right people together and have the right plan, and you got to have some equity. You got to have some down, you know. They want some commitment. That's what banks do. But at the same time, they finance huge percentages of it. I mean, Trump financed the rebuilding of, I can't remember what their old name was, the Continental, which is now, I think, the Waldorf Astoria. And he did it all on other people's money. I mean, it was all, he was the first one ever to get like five banks involved in financing one project because of the historical significance of the place. And so long story short is, this is bank money. This is borrowed money, okay? You want a bubble? You think residential real estate, when it blew up, you think that was a bubble? Wait till, you know, we get the explosion of, you know, $300 million to multi-billion dollar loans all at once. It's absolutely berserk. It's not going to last, okay? It's simple. And so what we should probably do is check a few areas I have for notes and see, first of all, you know, the whole socialism thing. I am concerned personally a lot about this socialism and social justice, which, you know, social justice is the rallying cry of the political left and the theologically liberal. But okay, now it's becoming increasingly taken up by conservative Bible believing Christians. Okay, think, you got to listen to this. It's important. I'm not going to get too in depth into it, but it's increasingly drawing Christians into the folds of left wing politics and liberal theology. Social justice was an Obama thing. It's basically treating people differently based on their race and their conditions of upbringing or whatever, but it's not the way God intended it to be. It just is not the way God ever intended it to be. So social justice is not a biblical principle. A biblical principle is that all men are truly created equal, which I've discussed on the show. And you guys understand, hopefully, what I mean when I say that. We're all created equal. Equal in opportunity and equal in freedom and rights. Not equal in ability and equal in, you know, potential, or at all equal in outcome. The popularity of social justice has soared in the past decade or two because of the political parties of the left. The Labour Party in Australia and Democratic Party in America have sought to use it to counter the concerns and influence of conservative Christians on moral issues like abortion and homosexuality. And the Australian Christians justified voting for this Mr. Rudd and the Labor Party in the 2007 federal election on the grounds of social justice. And many American Christians voted for Barack Obama and the Democratic Party on similar grounds. A couple quotes from champions of social justice might help you focus your understanding on what the social justice position involves. The first one I'll give you is from a guy named Jim Wallace, who's a social justice campaigner and author in the U.S., and the second's from Kevin Rudd, who's the former Prime Minister of Australia. So the first one from Jim Wallace says, "The right is comfortable with the language of religion, values, God talk." Okay? In other words, the right, meaning the conservative right, is comfortable with the language of religion, values, and God talk, so much so that they sometimes claim to own that territory. So conservatives claim to be the God-loving, Bible-believing, God-fearing, which is true, our own God, but then they narrow everything down to one or two issues, abortion and gay marriage. And then this guy says, "I'm an evangelical Christian, and I can't ignore thousands of verses in the Bible on another subject, which is poverty. I say at every stop, fighting poverty is a moral value too." You know, so it's social justice, it's poverty. You've got to make sure that everybody, you know, you've got to take from the rich and give to the poor. You know, you got to be Robin Hood, and that's really what he's going after there. And it, you know, it's a way, it's wealth redistribution, it's socialism. So Kevin Rudd, who was the Prime Minister of Australia, his quote, you know, he made similar statements in a famous essay called Faith in Politics, which was published in the monthly whatever, I won't get into all that, but through the essay he mentions and mocks four ways that modern Christians supposedly engage in politics. His second way that he mocks us is he says, "Vote for me because I'm Christian and because I have a defined set of views on a narrowly defined set of questions concerning sexual morality." Regrettably, this model, this is Kevin Rudd, the prior Prime Minister of Australia. He's mocking Christians. So he's sort of putting words in Christians' mouth. And he's saying, vote for me because I'm Christian and because I have a defined set of views on a narrowly defined set of questions concerning sexual morality. Regrettably, this model has an increasing number of supporters within the broader Christian community. Such supporters tend to read down rather than read up, he says. The ethical teachings of the New Testament, producing a narrow tick-the-box approach to passing a so-called Christian morals test, these tests tend to emphasize questions of sexuality and sexual behavior. And he says, "I see very little evidence that this preoccupation with sexual morality is consistent with the spirit and content of the Gospels," he says. Now, sexuality, sexual morality, that's powerful stuff in the Bible, right? I mean, God, that's a big deal. That's big, big stuff. You know, and then it goes on, and I'm not going to continue. But, you know, basically the social justice mentality, you know, the social justice, social gospel, Christian socialist worldviews, they're spreading like wildfire. From their comments quoted above, it's evident that, like, these types of people consider social issues such as poverty to be far more important than personal issues such as homosexuality. And they seem to reluctantly credit matters of sexual morality with any importance at all without, you know, and they're irrelevant. And they're peeved by Christians who attribute importance to sexual morality. And these narrow and feeble-minded Christians of the, quote, righteous right, he calls them, they'd have you believe they're gagging out gnats while scoffing down camels. And, you know, there's so much here I don't really have time to go into that I didn't intend to cover. But understand that social justice is on fire. It's taken us over, and it's something that, I mean, we need to know about social justice. You need to understand that people aren't created, you know, with entitlements. We have rights, but it's to give us the freedom of movement and the freedom of thought and the freedom of speech and the freedom to become who we want to become. That's the point of it all. And then you've got, like, you know, what Americans don't understand or what need to know about socialism. You know, you got Karl Marx. Socialism is no longer a parlor game for academics, but a political alternative taken seriously by millennials. Now, and they don't recognize that much of what they enjoy in life is a result of capitalism and would disappear or does disappear when socialism were to be implemented. They said a block of cheese right now in Venezuela costs over a month's income. There's no food. They're starving to death. That's why they're rioting. So this is the reality of socialism, a pseudo-religion, okay, grounded on pseudoscience and enforced by political tyranny. You have to realize that it's all theoretical rubbish. It's not. There's nothing historically sound about it. It's never succeeded. It's always been the worst. It's always had the worst outcomes. It's bad. You know, so, you know, we've got this specter of socialism haunting America, especially among our millennials, which is disquieting evidence of, there's so much disquieting evidence of many young Americans' sympathy for socialism. And you've got 2 million people under the age of 30 that voted for Bernie Sanders, in the 2016 elections. And you got polls that are showing that not only do a large majority of millennials have a favorable opinion of socialism, the majority say they would prefer to live under socialism. This is from legitimate polls, okay? The majority of millennials have a favorable opinion, and they say they would prefer to live under socialism rather than capitalism. In addition to that, the third point is the no longer sleeping Democratic Socialists of America, which is an actual organization, now has 30,000 members, most of them on their in their 20s and eager to follow the socialist banner. So, you know, we've come a long way since the 88 presidential race when George H.W. Bush buried his Democratic challenger Michael Dukakis by labeling him as a liberal. Just calling him a liberal crushed him. I remember well, I was in college, and it was an uproar. Socialism's no longer, like I said, a parlor game for academics. It's a political alternative that's taken seriously by millennials. I think you realize that. Please understand how serious it is. We are on the brink right now of being moved into socialism. The good news is, from my perspective, the Democrats can't come up with anybody worth a hoot. Okay, so there's more stuff that I could cover on that, but I won't. And the reason why is I said that I'm going to do this Frauds End Suddenly series. And, of course, I started and I like to use up time with other things. So let's. I'm going to recap Wednesday, which was part one, and then we'll buzz to part two. Okay, I talked Monday. The bubble that's about to pop is going to be the biggest, baddest bubble in U.S. history. There's easy ways to protect your money. God made it simple. Like I said, what's motivating you to wait? Huge losses are always driven by greed and unreasonable hope. Always, 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 always. You're buried in the stock market. Oh, a little more money, a little more money, or whatever. You know, I don't want to give it up. I don't want to protect it. I don't want to buy metals or coins because, you know, they're laying flat. They're kind of dormant, man. What a time to buy. And then, in all honesty, what does the Bible say? So what does God call money? I talked about that. There's no doubt. Precious metals-based assets, hard assets, gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. I've got, you know, I've dealt with so many quantities of precious stones, and we sell them online and, you know, in mass, in quantities, and they don't bring squat. It's sad, to be honest with you. the true billionaires right now are loading themselves up in hard assets, precious metals, and you know, hard assets have biblically attributed, you know, at their hard assets are biblically attributed as assets of true wealth that have lasted throughout all of history. And you know, you think about it, what you know what asset you want to own when the market, when the big bull market comes. And you know the big bull market's coming. You know it is. You know, I mean, folks, frauds end suddenly and these things don't last forever. So when are you going to move? When are you going to move? And all you got to do is call Coins Plus 444-0044. I've been really convicted lately on this. 10 years ago, we had the big, you know, the big pseudo crash, which I call it that because they just, that was just one piece of the truth. There was so much more going on, and it was we were being gaslighted by 9/11. Everyone in the know changed their long-term trading behavior. They stopped the buy and hold, you know, and when the profits were big, they get out. They buy, they make a big profit, and then, you know, when something's run its course and it starts showing the volatility that we've seen in the markets, they get out. They set themselves up with piles of hard assets. That this is really going on. We're seeing this, okay? Precious metals, rare coins, and real estate. They love real estate right now. I mean, like, but like premium real estate, like waterfront. Waterfront's going crazy. It's I just sold mine, but I'm telling you, folks, I don't know what's going to happen with it, but I wouldn't touch it right now. It's just so overbought. It's ridiculous. The real estate bubble is stretched as thin as it's ever been. And, you know, this, you know, with this, you know, with the wealth have the wealthy have purchased quality real estate to a fault, pushing the levels beyond anything reasonable. 08, millions of Americans watch their retirement savings explode and disappear and vanish. And now they're back in full throttle, you know, trying to catch it back up. Well, a lot of people made a ton of money on metals, did they not? I mean, you know, tenfold in, you know, a reasonable period of time. So other people, perhaps you, have prospered during this long bull market in American history. You're looking for these big gains on paper you don't have a plan or a strategy for what comes next. Now, the problem is I'm what comes next. I'm selling what comes next. I'm not selling what's going on now. But remember this, just impress this on your brain. Frauds end suddenly, okay? When will you move? How long will it take? What will it take? Remember this one thing that always proves true. Frauds end suddenly. No one can believe it. Brokers comfort your massive losses by letting you know what everyone else that everyone else is losing their money. I remember that during the stock market crash. I was like, oh, give me a break. Americans, folks, have grown now, you know, tremendously complacent. Okay, so, you know, we're going to go forward now. That was kind of a recap. Many have forgotten the 2008 drop and dismissed the big wake-up call even last December, which was the biggest drop in the market since the Great Depression. Now, that stuff is like warning when it looked nearly certain the next big crash was beginning. But the PPT, the Plunge Protection Team, infused over $1 trillion into the markets to prop them up. Strong markets get votes. Does Trump own stocks? Nope. And, you know, it's also important to understand that. You might be sitting there thinking, well, I don't own a bunch of stock. That's lucky, you know. So what do you have? You have money sitting in a conservative savings account? Well, you're losing hyperinflation, and banks are pumping out money left and right. Trump is repatriating you know, literally trillions of dollars that are coming back into the U.S. Your buying power is dropping. The difference is we've got a very productive, innovative society, but we don't produce anything. We don't have powerful exports. That's why Trump's always like, we got to get steel going again. And he talks super positive. There's so much power in the tongue of a president. Okay. Now, Obama was always smashing on capitalism and everything. And Trump's like, no way, man. We're going in full throttle. And he's telling you how great everything is and how wonderful it is and everybody's getting rich. Smart man. He's making those markets go up. People assume that guys like Trump on the inside know what's going on, and they're probably semi-true, but not like you think. Truths are truths, right? Do you have any idea how much the current and previous presidents own in precious metals, semi-numismatic and numismatic investments? It's so much, okay? I happen to know the largest provider, broker, whatever you want to, and you know, provider and broker of metals for powerful political names you would not believe, and they have been buying coins and metals in the hundreds of millions of dollars each for a little while, okay? They know what's coming, and this guy is third generation. He's in D.C., and he moves. He's the largest mover of platinum in the world. He's a massive mover of gold. I mean, he himself is a billionaire, and he moves billions of dollars in this stuff between big name politicians. They have systems set up. I know the guy personally. I've talked. They have systems set up that they'll always remain anonymous, these different kinds of LLC situations. None of the other political realm will say anything because they know it's true. Bernie Sanders, you know, he's barking against, barking how great socialism is. Well, he is now a multimillionaire from writing books and stuff, and he's still barking it. Why? Because he makes money by barking it. Just like Al Gore made all this money by saying by 2010 and 11 and 12, the whole earth, everyone's going to die. And I mean, it's, and then you get the younger, more ignorant millennial generation. They watch these old videos and they're like, oh no, we're going to die. You know, the polarite, the teeny weeny little bitty piece of ice that's left at the top of the earth is going to melt and we're all going to die. Folks, we had an ice age 6 to 10,000 years ago, and glaciers went all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. It's a fact. There's no doubt. We had water, you know, covering the Sea of Cortez went clear all the way up to, I think, into it went through Nevada. You know, we've had definite climate change. No question. Okay. So we are going to continue to have that. The earth is warming, but the moisture, you know, God set up a revolving system. It's almost a perfect system. It's almost one of the most perfect systems because for some reason, based on gravity and environmental stuff, we don't lose moisture to outer space. And wow, gee, I wonder who would be smart enough to engineer a planet like that, right? Who controls these markets? How, when, and why do they do it? Think about it. Who controls these markets? The big buck boys, the Wall Street crowd. They control the markets. They also play with the COMEX, okay? That's the Commodities Exchange, which was created in conjunction with the Federal Reserve Act, which you have fake paper. I mean, we're walking up on $23 trillion in deficit. When is enough enough? I mean, the amount of money that each American owns, folks, is just beyond the pale. It's so far beyond the pale. It is absolutely one unbelievable deal. I mean, it's absolutely crazy, you know. Just the deficit alone, each of you owns, each family owns, I don't know what it's, $400,000 or $500,000 just in the deficit? That's a family. That doesn't count the unfunded liabilities, which is 10 times that. So you as an individual owe about $80,000. If you got a family of four, that's $320,000. The unfunded liabilities are 9 times that because of fractional reserve banking. You know, this is all new. This isn't, I know it's been this way, the system, but the numbers are astounding, mind-boggling. The fact is, many of the most important signals we follow, okay, are now worse than before the last crisis. And the time to prepare is truly now. I'm sorry, but it's just do it. Get a portion of what you can afford. You know, I always tell people, just save what you cannot afford to lose. So if you have to have a certain amount of money for retirement or whatever, put it in metals. It's not going away. They're lasting clear till the end. Do you realize that God said, first of all, gold is truly all over heaven. It says so in the Bible. It's real. It's true. It's not hypothetical. It's not a fantasy. It's everywhere. Back up. God says three times in the Bible that man will be throwing their gold and silver in the streets on the day of his wrath. Okay? The day of his wrath is coming. We know that Armageddon is coming. Okay? We've got, look at the countries that are in play now. Russia. I mean, you got like Maduro in Venezuela, a country that's just socialistically just going whack job. You've got Cuba. You've got, I mean, come on. This stuff, we are sitting in a situation that is ready to blow sky high. So the signals are there. The time to prepare is now. It's just where we're at. Now, I know people like, oh, yeah, well, Kevin, you know, he's doom and gloom. He has to pitch metals. You know, that's what he does. You know, it's coin splots. He just sells gold and silver. And, you know, and I'll admit that, well, not necessarily. Never. I was going to say I'll admit that I'm biased, but I am. But I really believe that I believe in what I say and what I do. And it's, you know, the fact is not money. That's the real issue. We don't have real money. We've got Federal Reserve notes. They're just pieces of paper, IOUs from a private corporation that's designed in a way to absolutely make people so, so wealthy, it's not even funny. The Federal Reserve is the most profitable company in the world. You know, year upon year now, they're making hundreds of billions of dollars on us just to make currency. And they make sure there's nothing of value. The U.S. Mint sells all these products. And then there's probably listeners out there that say, yeah, I buy gold and silver, and they're on the U.S. Mint mailing list. And whenever the U.S. Mint comes out with a new gold or silver coin or whatever, they buy it. Don't. The premiums are huge. If you want precious metals, come and see us. Now, semi-numismatic, folks. I'll be honest with you. We've got a lot of dollars. We bought a tremendous estate out of Montana from probably one of the more famous holders of metals or silver dollars in existence. I don't want to get into much detail. I have had access to some of the most phenomenal things. But, I mean, if you've got 10 or 20 or 30 grand you want to save, just come and get rolls of silver dollars. We have uncirculated rolls, and I mean nice, never been circulated rolls of Morgan silver dollars from the 1800s, okay? Yeah, and they're, you know, and they cost you a little, but here's the thing, okay? So in the 20 years that I've been in this business, when I got into this business, well, we'll say in the, you know, the mid, late 90s, these uncirculated Morgans, this will blow your mind, but they were like $8 a piece. Now they're like 50 or 40-ish, you know, so rolls will be 800 or 900 bucks, which is for a roll, an original roll of 20 coins. But remember, these are rolls from the mid-1800s that are solid silver. They're very rare. They're very scarce. They don't exist. But if you've gone from $8 a coin to 45 a coin, say, you know, that's whatever that figures out to be. My brain won't do the math very good, but it's, I know that it's six times, you know, it's a 5.5 to 6-fold increase. Now, that doesn't count things like Carson City's. I remember when they were $20 in circulated condition, and I remember when, you know, 1894 plain Morgans passed $100, and now they're over $1,000, and, you know, dollars. they're the way to go because you can. They keep going up. Metals are going down, and they're going. And a lot of the better stuff's going up. So you want a balanced portfolio, and you definitely want. You know, silver dollars are a great, great, great way to go. We did just recently buy another amazing hoard of them, and there I'm putting a ton away, as much as I can afford. I'll tell you that. So. Get in here. Don't hesitate. You've got nothing to lose, folks. You've got an asset that just that will grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. I've watched it over the years. It's what they do. It's hyperinflation will, it causes it, and when it goes, it oof, be ready, right? The time to prepare is now, like I said. With the right moves, you can even set yourself up for extraordinary profits. While nearly every conventional investment, like stocks, bonds, equities, unfortunately real estate, is plummeting. You know, they're all prepared to crash, but they are plummeting now in hyperinflation. Hyperinflation is killing everything. So it only takes a few simple steps to protect your wealth from the next bear market. And the next bear market's coming. No questions. If any of you doubt that, you know nothing of history. You know nothing of the stock markets. You know nothing of monetary creation in hyper, what we call, hyperinflation. It's just they're pumping money out like you can't even fathom it. It's unbelievable. So it's just a few simple steps. With the right moves, you can even thrive while nearly every conventional investment are plummeting. Now, what's important about that, you're winning so many ways. Number one, if collectible, you know, the supply and demand factor of silver dollars goes up. It always has. It's never not. Okay, you make money that way. When silver goes up, they go crazy. You make money that way. Where another way you make a lot of money is when everyone else is losing theirs and you're preserving yours. That's the best way to make money because when you have wealth, then you get to go out and buy people's real estate for pennies on the dollar. I know. I've done it during the last crash. I bought stuff that you wouldn't believe that now you couldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, and I wish I'd have bought more, you know, when that happened. But that's not the time now. It's not the time with stocks, and it's not the time with real estate. Now is the time to be moving into the metals and semi-numismatics, silver dollars, and things like that. I'm telling you, silver is cheap. Silver dollars are cheap. We've got masses of them. Come and get them. I mean, come and get them. There, we've got a nice hoard we bought from a guy who I wish I could tell you who it was and what his history was because you would be baffled, absolutely baffled. And I can't say more. But he's kind of it. We'll just leave it at that when it comes to silver dollars. So you can protect and grow your wealth, your home, your retirement fund, and your children and grandchildren's future in all conditions, okay? Building an asset base that just grows, like right now, if gold's only going up, you know, 6, 7, 8% a year, you're growing. But you're holding your own. You're establishing your wealth. There will be a crash coming. I mean, and when it comes, ouch, boom, bang, gone, right? So that's why multimillionaires and billionaires are investing in timeless and true biblical endorsed assets. Common sense tells us that the next bear market will be the worst in our lifetimes. You just put the numbers together. You look at how far we've grown, where we've come from. There's probably a big war coming. Because what happens, you know, worst case scenario, in other words, or best, or I don't know what you know, it'd be worst, is when Trump leaves office, this big vacuum is going to exist. Because he's kept everybody in lockstep because they fear him. They know he's tough and he'll back himself up. But what happens when he's gone? So be ready. You know, there's an election coming up. I think he'll win. The Democrats have more morons. They're just chewing each other's flesh up right now. So, but the massive inflation and market volatility are showing us that this is coming soon, okay? The market, The massive inflation and market volatility are showing us that this will be arriving soon. Just remember that. And what you do before, during, and after the bear market to actually grow your wealth while others are wrestling with the disaster, you can use truly biblical principles to make yourself crash-proof with your wealth skyrocketing during the next major downturn. History always repeats itself, especially on finances, especially in the U.S., and especially with the Federal Reserve. There's been over 100 great empires that have gone to fiat currency. They've had markets blow. I could go through the history on that, but I don't have time. History repeats itself. The wealthiest Americans have always made their money while everyone else was losing theirs. Why? Because they set themselves up. You look at the Kennedys and the J.P. Morgans and all these guys. What they loaded up on gold 5 days before the crash of 29, just loaded up. And then they went and they waited a couple years, and then they went and just bought up cities, literally. So prepare yourself. It's available. The opportunity is there, okay? So get semi-numismatic stuff so you can play both markets. You can do the good markets, the bad markets, and the in-between markets. You can make money. The wealthiest Americans have made their money while everyone else was losing theirs. They've established wealth while hyperinflation and market crashes consume people's phony paper riches. And allows you to buy other timeless biblical hard assets for pennies on the dollar. Our dollar is so overinflated, it has literally poised the globe for the largest and hardest bankruptcy or insolvency or hyperinflation. It's basically bankruptcy. Our dollar is so overinflated, it has literally poised the globe for the largest and hardest bankruptcy in world history. So next week, I'll go into why things could get bad fast. I mean, why we're sitting and where, you know, what are the numbers, you know, what all this household debt and student loan debt and consumer debt and real estate debt. And, I mean, at all time highs, and delinquencies are at all time highs, and car debt and all this. So please tune in next week. We'll get to part three. This is the end of part two. And, We'll move on. At the end of every show, I'm always going, hey, really fast. I'm like, you know, go to Google. So the deal is, folks, the world we live in is an internet world. If you could go to Google and give us a 5-star review and then call us and prove it, we'll verify it and we'll give you a super nice quality Morgan silver dollar, okay, from the 1800s, all right? You do 3 spots, we give you 2 of them. Take care, God bless. Have a good weekend. I love you, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.